pleasure to have an opportunity to share with you this morning. Usually during a commercial, especially selling cars, the disclaimer comes at the end. But I want to give you three disclaimers at the beginning. First of all, I will not be presenting a technical thesis on expository breakdown of the Greek or Hebrew, for I could not. Secondly, my message will not be long, for which you should be grateful, but in case it's too long, I'll let you be the judge of it, though I plan it not to be. Thirdly, when Russ was planning to go away, I suggested an outside source of pulpit supply. And his response was, no, I want my people to hear from our people. So any complaints that you have, they are to be issued to Russ. We are good. I'm glad to be here this morning, and I am grateful for the privilege of being before you, for I am in a family that has cared for me through the years. You have allowed me to be me and not perceive upon me something that you know that I'm not, nor could I be. We are part of his body, unique, some of us uniquer than others. Grace given to all, for we are in his body, we've been given gifts, and we are to function in the body, we are to love one another. And I know that I have been loved from my Bethel family. We each come this morning with certain longings in our hearts. If we were to pause long enough to consider, and I ask the question, what longings do you have in your heart? They could be health concerns. They could be family relations, could be a number of things, but everyone represents a number of longings, things in your life that are unfulfilled, things that you long that God would be involved in and either correct or give you the grace to endure, to know that at this portion of my life, despite what got me here, that God is for me. That God is aware of the issues in my life, the struggles, and the longings of my heart. This morning, I do not bring you a technical exposition, but I would like for you to examine with me one of the longings of the heart. Turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. What does your heart long for? Listen as I read. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust, and you say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watchman in the night. You have swept them away like a flood, they fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. we have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. When you place a life, a human life, against the backdrop of the eternality of God, you end up with but a blip on a radar screen. In the line of eternity, you are but one dot. And yet, I encourage you, you are a dot, and you are a blip. And within that dot and blip are events in our lives and emotions that we feel, though finite, they make up the human experience. For God has destined that human experience, and brief as it might be, and painful as it might be, God has given you life. In Psalm 90, we see that God is the eternal creator, that it's his program, and that it's he who has made us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I remember as a young boy, we grew up on 10 acres and it was the top of the hill, and I would lie down on the grass and look up into the sky and I would realize the depth, and I wondered where it ended. There was a depth to creation, and I was just a little boy with human sight peering into that which had no end. And of course, at nighttime when I would go camping in my little tent away from the house, still on our property, and I would observe the stars. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the finiteness of my being in an infinite, what appeared to be, created world. Man is finite, as we see in Psalm 90 and verses 3 through 6, go to a funeral, and the finiteness of the human frame and its physical life ends quickly. I remember during my college years, those of you who have known me that long knew that I referred to those as my struggling years. And I was contorting to understand the God that was and how it all fit together. And being limited in my understanding, very limited, my heart would long for the essence of God himself, and my mind would not allow me to perceive correctly, for it cannot grasp the God who is. So one Sunday, we were required to go to church. Of course, if you go to Bible college, that should be. But in my struggle, instead of going to church, I went to a cemetery. And I just sat. among the tombstones, knowing that I too must pass this way. The brevity of life, the struggles in life to understand my life in the total frame of things. All flesh is like grass, like the flower of the field. The flower falls and the grass withers, yet the word of the Lord is forever. And it's in his word that we're able to perceive correctly the chaos which we cannot make sense of in our human efforts. Psalm 97 through 12 touches on the repercussions of our sinfulness. The consciousness of our sinfulness, which is really a blessing in disguise, is it not? For if we are not conscious of our true condition, what condition are we left in? We see in this section the limited time given to us. 70 years, 80 by strength, and some in our midst this morning have surpassed that, which we're grateful for. But it is a blip on the radar screen, and it is a dot and a line of eternity, the brevity of life. And within that life, we as human beings are to acquire the wisdom to rightfully know our place. During our limited days, Ecclesiastes speaks of it when he encourages youthful activity, live. I remember in the start of my difficult days when I became a believer at the age of 17, and those of you who know, I went into quite a spiral downwards because of the intensity of understanding things. My parents, especially my mom, I would sit at home and think, and think, and think, and go to sleep. And she longed for her young boy to get out and live. Go out, do something. Don't waste your youthful years. The longing of a mother's heart. She was right. Youth is gone. And she wanted me to enjoy life. But God had begun to do a work in my life to call me to himself. And I longed to pursue him. I wish that I still had the intensity of that longing now as I once did. But the writer of Ecclesiastes says to pursue youthful activity, and yet it says, yet know that you are to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Activities of life. You have life. God desires for you to live life, to gain wisdom on how to manage that life, how to enjoy that life, and how to know how to receive the frailty of that life. When the faculties of our members begin to decline, God is still God. Psalm 90 finishes with verse 13 to 17. There's a longing for God to be involved in our experience. In that section, he asks God to relieve him of his sorrows. Life and sorrows go hand in hand. As you've heard me say, I create the chaos in which I live. We often, in our foolishness, develop situations where we are sorry. We feel sorrow because life in itself is incomplete. The frailty of our frames, the world in which we live, the limited understanding that we have. relationships that go south, physical ailments that haunt our members. He's asking God to relieve his sorrows, a request to God that he would satisfy his days. Life is challenging, and yet God is good. And God desires for us to be satisfied in our days. He has provided much, but we get caught in the complexity of life. Do you find pleasure in life? Or are you ensnared in the complexities that life can bring your way? He goes on to say that he desires to know somehow this longing of the heart. Is God involved in my life? And he finishes up with asking God to give us a sense of significance in our labor. Let the favor of the Lord be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. We are finite and we are fallen. God is eternal, infinite. How is this God engaged in our mess that we've created? The writer of the Ecclesiastes puts it this way. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. Yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will remain forever, and there is nothing to add to it, and there's nothing to take away from it. For God has so worked that men should fear him. That which has been already and that which will be has already been, for God seeks what has passed by. One night, Judy and I were watching a program in regard to the national parks, and it was on the Grand Canyon, and a park ranger was sharing his observations as people came and took in the grandeur of the Grand Canyon. And he said, it's interesting because you were overwhelmed at the depth of what you were seeing and the longevity of time that it took to create it. And that people feel very, very small compared to the backdrop of the Grand Canyon. He described it this way, that people feel like they are a single flap of a wing of a gnat in the backdrop of the Grand Canyon. And there's a consideration and a complexity as to, in the light of what I see, and in the light of how I feel. What is my purpose? And he said he sees them coming to the realization that they needed to go back to wherever they came from and that they needed to do what they felt they were called to do in that place. In the movie Saving Private Ryan, it gives a picture of him at the end of his life walking through the rows of crosses and finding the cross of the one who gave his life to rescue him. And he expresses there the hope that the life that he had lived was worthy of the sacrifice that was made for him. Eternity is in their hearts, though they are unregenerate. How much more the heart of the believer who has the Spirit of God within him. God searches all things. God knows the spirit of a man. He knows the longings of your heart. He is intimately acquainted with the sorrows and the heartaches and the disappointments. So where is he? Man longs to find his or her place in the world and so live worthily of the sacrifice that was made on their behalf, the Lord Jesus Christ. Eric Little, in the movie Chariots of Fire, his response to the question as to why he spent so much time running, being that he came from a missionary background, responded, "Because when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure." Though our days are short, though our minds are finite, though we are fallen and living in a fallen world, we are somebody. We long to be somebody. We long to have significance. We long to have impact. We long to know that God confirms the work of our hands. Yes, confirm, O God, the work of my hands. Our existence, our personhood, our uniqueness, our efforts, our life. Everybody wants to be somebody. And in the world, it's dog eat dog. What you have, what you wear, where you live, how much you have, who you know. That's the world's system as to who somebody is. The measuring marks. Just remember that the winner of a rat race is a rat. For the believer, it's quite different. It's whose I am. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. What purpose am I to fulfill? Am I pleasing him in my life? The longing to hear one day the completion of our lives, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We were made for a purpose. We long to fulfill that purpose. We want assurance along the way that we are on the right track. And when we create chaos, we long for restoration. For his spirit has been put within us, and the spirit lusteth to envy. The spirit is always calling to the Father, and he dwells within. And that longing in the context of our lives is painful because we are finite and we are fallen. And yet the call remains. The spirit is at work, longing, longing for us to go home, for things to be right, for things to be in order. The direction and confirmation of our work, the work of our hands, is of significant value to a human being. It begins at childhood. The parent's responsibility, though, train up a child in the way that he should go. And that is more than just spiritual direction. It's the formulation of what they were built to do. When I run, I feel his pleasure. When I was growing up, and ever since, education is not my forte, as is well evident. Aren't you glad that my parents directed me more toward carpentry than spending money on voice lessons? It would have been a waste of money. We ask children what they want to be when they grow up. And of course, being a child, they come up with a number of perceptions, and it's, you smile when you see, and yet some of them know from that age where what direction they are to go and what they are to do. When a person graduates from high school, we ask them, what do you plan to do? For some, it's more academic training for a field of study in which they will be more proficient. For others, it's a technical school, and I'm grateful to that have been an option when I was in high school. And others, they'll start out in the workplace and feel their way as to what they were designed to do and where they were designed to function. In our middle age, we pretty much are beginning to get clued into, or at least should be, as to who we are and how we are to function with the gifts and the abilities and the opportunities that God has opened for us. And of course, the question when you meet new people is, what do you do for a living? Your occupation. In our latter years, we should come to the realization that although challenging, we have found a rewarding sense of accomplishment for the field of endeavor which has occupied our days. Although the statement "confirm the work of our hands" includes our occupation and is based upon our makeup and the abilities, it is not limited to our occupation. It includes the whole of our lives, our occupation, our relationships, our portion in life, our efforts, our desires, and our endeavors. It is not so much that we have the blessing of God on our lives as it is that the whole of my life, am I functioning in the context of God's purpose for me? Am I functioning in the capacity of God's purpose for me? Remember, God is eternal and we are finite. It is his program, not ours. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not my will, but thine. And as his children, we are adopted into a kingdom that has purpose. And we are designed by him to fulfill that purpose. As finite and as small and as limited as it is, he gave us life. He gave us talents. He gave us abilities. He gave us his son. He called us into his kingdom. He has placed us in his church. And he desires that we might glorify him in our time and place and in this history. When I run, I feel his pleasure. Sometimes it's not always easy to specifically pinpoint every affair of our lives in alignment with ultimate God's purpose. That'll drive you crazy trying to figure that out. But rather a glorious liberty of freedom that God has called me to be his child. God has given me his spirit to guide me. God in his sovereignty will control the chaos that I'm prone to create. In your life, what is it that makes you feel his pleasure? not that you know all the details, but a sense of direction, a sense of calling, a sense of being, that it's okay. I remember part of the frustrating, struggling years where I wanted to know everything and didn't know anything, and I sinned. Because in my mental concoction, I was frustrated. And my sin was that I threw a towel out of frustration. And when I threw it, I laughed because I had the perception that it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay not to know how all the pieces go together. It's okay for me to be me in all my mess. It's okay because God is big enough to handle somebody like me. The glorious liberty of the freedom of the children of God. In our messes, in our disasters, in our frustrations, in our sorrows, it's okay because God is God. But there's a longing on our part that He would confirm the work of our hands. Many are the activities of life, but in the midst of them all, do you have a sense that you are on the right path? Many are the setbacks in life, but do you have a course perceived and you desire to complete the course that you've been called to complete? Many are the heartaches in life, but despite those emotional setbacks, is there a dogged determination to do the will of God? We live in a culture that's all about ourselves. Maturity comes when we lay aside our own world and our own concerns and ask, how can I be of help to others? The scripture gives us a number of examples that despite obstacles, they long to fulfill the purpose of God in their lives. And it was not about their betterment, but the benefit of others that God has called them to minister to. Observe with me in Scripture a number of portraits of people and God confirming the work of their hands. Noah was born in a time when everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And he perceived that God desired for him to build an ark. The people ridiculed him. It took a long time. Do you think Noah ever wondered when God was going to bring about what he had called him to? I mean, you have a whole culture doing what they want to do, and God asked Noah to do something unique, non-logical, and he gave himself for 120 years. Do you ever think that Noah wanted the confirmation of God in his life, in the context of what he was living? That confirmation came in raindrops and then torrents of flood. Yes, Noah, you were faithful to what I called you to do despite the culture around you. You believed. And I confirm the work of your hands. Moses was born in slavery, hidden in the bulrushes, raised in Pharaoh's court, attempted to correct the injustice that he saw by his own efforts, and suffered 40 years of repercussion on the backside of a desert. Finished. Screwed up. but God, His purposes, His timing, His training, establishing a leader who would be faithful to his call despite dealing with disgruntled followers. Psalm 90 is attributed to Moses as a prayer. Confirm the work of my hands. Yes, confirm the work of my hands. The experience of Moses was nothing but hardship, and yet he became the meekest man on the earth. How does that work? You see, the purpose and the call of God and the responses to situations in our lives are not to dominate or mold us, but God has called me to the work that He has given me to do. There will be hardships. There will be setbacks. There will be heartaches. But this is my purpose. And when I run, I feel His pleasure. David, born of the youngest of the family, not even thought worthy to be presented for consideration. He was out from human perspective. But God had ordained that David be a king. His experience the majority of his life, though called to that position, was running for his life, avoiding being killed. And yet God in His time brought forth what He purposed, and He set David upon the throne. And through David, He would bring one who would permanently sit upon the throne of David and reign our Lord Jesus. He failed miserably. His rap sheet is adultery. His rap sheet was murder. And yet the longing of David's heart is described as a man after God's own heart. The longing that God has instilled in his life despite the chaos that he created. I want God, and I want God's purposes to be fulfilled in my life. Yes, David was desirous that God would confirm the work of his hands. Jeremiah received a word from the Lord. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah knew his inability. He's not so good a speaker. Called by God for such a work, he wasn't good at speaking. And yet God gave him his word and he spoke to the nations, and Jeremiah felt the frustration of an obstinate people. He wept for them, but they never turned to righteousness. His whole life, he did what God called him to do. But there was no response. He was a failure. No, he wasn't. Despite reactions or responses non-favorable, he was called by God to do a certain work, and he did it despite rejection from the people. Confirmation for Jeremiah was after he was dead, when you can hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And lastly, the Apostle Paul, he said that he was one as untimely born, yet he was set apart for the ministry of the gospel. He was well educated and misdirected in his ability to perceive correctly the Lord Jesus and his ministry. He was interrupted on the road to Damascus, fulfilling his purposes, thinking he was doing justice to God by eliminating the Christians. It is said that Jesus said that I must show him how much he must suffer for the sake of the gospel. You see, the confirmation of God's blessing on the work of our hands does not always come out everything's rosy. It's in the midst of the fire that God is there. When Joseph was in prison and the Lord was with him, and he continued in prison and the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him. The outward circumstances did not indicate the blessing of God, but rather it was a confirmation that you are who you are where you are, and I am with you in the midst of it. We may not be a Noah or a Moses or a David, Jeremiah, or an apostle, but he has known us from our womb. We were born in our place in history, in the world. We were called to be his children. We were provided with talents and spiritual gifts. We were placed in a local body. We were given the means of grace by which to develop. And we are called individually to fulfill his purpose in our lives, in each of our lives. In the midst of the battle, our hearts cry, longing to know that God is with us, that we are on the right track, that we want to glorify him in whatever we do. It is possible for us to glorify God even in our eating and drinking. The scripture speaks of those who died in faith, not having received the promises. While living, they gained approval through their faith. It's the faith to believe that God is who he said he is, and that he is able, he has the ability to deal with somebody like you, like me, that he has called us to himself, he has gifted us, he has placed us. Yes, we fail. Yes, we are finite, but we are his. And his purpose for our lives will be fulfilled one way or the other, because he started a good work in you, and he will bring it to pass. So even though today you may be wondering in the longings of your heart, where is God? Why am I experiencing the hardships that I am? Confirm the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. May you be strengthened in your work. May God confirm the work of your hands. May God comfort your heart. May you run the race that is set before you, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. The glory of the one may we do that to the glory of the one who has given us life. You are a blip. You are a dot. Live life to the fullest, to his glory and for others' good. Let's pray together. Blessed be your name, O God. Is it really possible that you really are God, that you really did know us before we were born? That you really did call us in Christ Jesus? That you really are big enough to bring order out of chaos? And that you really will one day bring things to completion? And that we might hear, "Well done, good and faithful servants." May the longing of our hearts be fulfilled in the fulfillment of your purposes for our lives. Encourage us, confirm, indicate to us, yes, we are on the right track. Yes, you will bring about your purposes. Yes, all glory one day will be given to you when we bow before you in heaven, seeing the mighty mystery and the work of your hands in our lives. We pray with thanksgiving as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.